Loretta, good morning.
Good morning, Miriam.
Summer is here again, and you are on your way out. Where are you going this year?
This year, I've been asked to come to Colombia, to a Sri Aurobindo center high in the mountains, to do a workshop, a lecture workshop.
The lecture workshop would be consistent of your work, of your researches, yeah? On Sri Aurobindo and the mother.
Yes, that's correct. As far as I know, I'm the only extra presenter. They have their own yoga schedules and things, but I'm the only speaker, and I don't think they're having any other kinds of classes or anything that come from outside.
In that center?
In that center. It's called Fundación Auromira, and it was created only for furthering the teachings of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother. This is their mission statement. It's for the birth and evolution of for the study of the birth and evolution of consciousness, individual and collective, based on the teachings of Sri Aurobindo and the Mother.
How Sri Aurobindo Center started in Colombia?
There is a man who was once in the ashram. He's called Swami Brahm Dev, and he opened an ashram in a place that he calls Oro Valley, which is outside of Rishikesh in UP state in the northern part of India. And I haven't been there, but from what I understand, he has a traditional kind of ashram there, the kind of living situation and daily program situation that you find traditionally here in this country. But it's all based on Mother and Sri Aurobindo. And I don't know how the people from Colombia first went there, but there's a very large number of Colombian people who go there every year. And at one point, with his help, I understand it, with his kind of on the basis of him and his mission, there's a woman named Maria. And she started Auromira, and it opened in 2003. It's in a place called, or it's right outside a place called Villa de Leyva, which is an old colonial-style town in the mountains. It's over 2,000 meters in altitude, and the town has been preserved. I believe it's a historical site, and people go there for vacation, so it's a beautiful spot. And outside that, a little bit higher up into the mountains, they have their ashram.
Well, which would be the lectures you would share with them?
They're all Spanish-speaking people.
How you deal with that? You speak Spanish?
Actually, yes, I do. I can converse in Spanish. I studied Spanish in high school, and I couldn't speak a word. I was terrified. I didn't practice. I couldn't open my mouth. And I don't know, 4 or 5 years later, something like that, I went to Mexico. And there people only spoke Spanish. And lo and behold, I just started speaking Spanish, and I loved it. It was just being in the country with the people that spoke the language, and I loved doing it. I had no trouble doing it. So, I mean, I can talk to people. It'll take a little while to switch gears. Because I'm either talking in English to everyone I know or talking in Tamil to my amma at home. And what happens when you know 2 or 3 languages, other words come in. But it will come, and I should be able to talk to people. But I won't lecture in Spanish. I don't know enough Spanish to really give a proper lecture. Maria will translate.
So simultaneous translations.
I don't think it's going to be simultaneous. I think, well, I'm not sure what you mean by simultaneous. I mean, I will speak, then she will translate. Mm. It's not like in the UN where everybody wears a headset and they only hear the Spanish even though someone is speaking in English. It's
okay. Let's say an environment which is a little bit poor is usually you say one sentence and the translator translates it?
Yes.
Something like that?
Yes, it'll be like that. Maria will translate, but I have a lot of poetry from Sri Aurobindo, And I also have some of Mother's entretien, her questions and answers. And I have Mother's recording in English, reading The Mother by Sri Aurobindo. So I'm going to give the first four lectures based on the first three chapters of The Mother, because they've translated it into Spanish. The Sri Aurobindo Center in Barcelona, Spain, has done a really good job. La Madre, it's called, The Mother. So the people have a textbook, and they can study before or after the talk. They have something they can take home, they can read. I'm doing just the first three chapters because they stick on a kind of subject, which is what is Sri Aurobindo's yoga. So the first lecture is an introduction. Who are Mother and Sri Aurobindo? It comes down to, if I give a lecture about Mother and Sri Aurobindo, why should people want to know what they said? I mean, most of the people there, of course, know Mother and Sri Aurobindo and want to know what they said. But do you think, what is so important about these two people that you should want to know what they say? So I tell people. I explain about their lives and I explain about their work and things like that. So the first lecture is an introduction. And then the next three lectures are on the first three chapters of The Mother, La Madre. I'll explain. Then I will read in Spanish a part of what Mother says, and then we'll play what Mother says so people can understand the words, and then they don't have to worry whether they can pick up the English or not. They can just listen to, from inside, all the inner things that they can receive. So that's the first series. And then I don't invite questions and answers after my talks if I can help it. The reason is, by the time people have listened to Mother's voice or heard Sri Aurobindo's poetry and heard so much, they're so full and they're so satisfied and they're so blown away that they can't think. and they don't have any questions. So I'm asking people to save up their questions, because afterwards they may think of questions. And we'll have a question and answer session.
So after all the lectures?
After these four lectures. There's a three-day weekend. So I'll be doing that on the three-day weekend. And then the last thing I will do on that weekend is I'm going to give a talk on Auroville.
To introduce?
To introduce, but it's not an, I don't do any more introductory talks. It seems to me that for the last 40 years, the only thing people ever do is give introductory talks when they talk about Mother and Sri Aurobindo. So, and the books are full of introductions and explanations.
And no. Internet is full of everything.
That, yes, you're right. And internet is full. No, I go right where the rubber meets the road. And I'm going to talk about why Mother created Auroville and all the really deep reasons and all the deep things and the powerful things and what it was like in the early days, because I was here in the early days, and from that standpoint I'm going to do that. But in that lecture we'll have questions and answers, because that's something people already have a background in, kind of generally. And maybe not in Auroville, but in life, in daily life. So.
But I think that this year it's going to be different than last year, because they are studying and they are really anxious, no?
I think that they are really interested. I get, when I prepare a lecture, and it's like going to a kind of room of the lecture place, and I get a feeling about what my audience is going to be like. And my feeling is that these people are very ready and very open and very forward and very heartfelt. And so, and they've, I guess a large percentage of the audience will have been going up to Oromira regularly to hear Swami Brahmadev speak, and then there have been other people from here. Narad was doing his own choirs there, and this group, Soleil and her husband, do something on discovering the soul of your nation, and they were there. So, I mean, these people have a certain amount of background. So I think they're very eager. So that's the first weekend, the three-day weekend.
And?
And then we have another weekend.
What's happening on the other weekend?
I'm giving three lectures on the soul, on finding your psychic being. Because it's really important if people feel that they want to do the yoga. First of all, that they have some basic background in doing the yoga, which is what La Madre, the mother, will give. And then to understand what's the first goal of the yoga. And Mother and Sri Aurobindo always said that the very first goal, major step to be attained, was the finding of your own soul. So I'm giving three lectures. The first lecture has lots of readings from Savitri and poetry, and the second lecture has a recording. Again, we have a nice recording of Mother telling the ashram students how they can see the soul in somebody else's eyes. And her voice just takes you right there. It's just really beautiful. And then the third lecture is on the psychic being and the new consciousness, and what happens to the psychic being and where everything's going. And we have a really nice recording where Mother has this realization about where the psychic being is going. And then we have a question and answer session, because again, I mean, and especially after hearing Mother's voice, and I always try to end a lecture either with one of Sri Aurobindo's poems or with Mother's voice. And then people can't speak. They're in another world.
Just watching.
And then there's actually one more session. It's a total of 11 sessions. The following weekend, the night before I leave, I'm giving a talk in Bogota, the capital of Colombia. And I guess that's an open, you know.
For the public, yeah?
I believe so. Yes, I'm sure it is. And that's on the path of Sri Aurobindo's yoga, the way he describes it in Savitri, because he uses the yoga of the king. The path of the yoga of the king is really his own path, and he puts his own experiences in it.
Nice.
Yeah, it is. It's really serious, and it's really nice. And I'll be reading in Spanish the poetry and the Savitri readings, because I'm very familiar with them. I mean, I love them so much, so they're really in my heart. So it's a Spanish language, which I'm able to pronounce and understand. And I feel it's better if I read these things than someone who has had less experience. And with Savitri and with the poetry. And I hope that this brings more of an opening for Sri Aurobindo's poetry and for Savitri to the people that hear it.
Yeah, well, Savitri takes years to understand, to reading it over and over again, to like,
yes,
the prayers. When you get to the point, that's that.
Yeah, but I don't think you ever get finally to that point, because every time I read it, I find something else.
That's true, too.
But I've had really good luck with translations, because the center in Barcelona, Spain, translated Savitri all the way up to book 6, canto 2. And then I have a friend from Spain who did some translations in the middle of Savitri. And then the ladies at Fundación Aromira translated a very large portion. I sent them the things I wanted to include in the lecture.
To translate.
To translate for me. And they sent it, you know, sent it by email. I could insert it in the lectures. They translated the Entretien, Mother Says, and then the part from the agenda, they translated that. And they translated Sri Aurobindo's poems. And poetry is not easy to translate.
No, you have to be actually the poet in both languages. That's the part.
Well, I think they've done a very good job. I mean, I think the people who worked on the translation are most likely the people who live full-time in the ashram up there. I think there are three women, and I've met all three of them, and they're really lovely people.
They were here?
Maria, the first one I met, maybe it's 3 years ago now. They came, they brought back Sri Aurobindo's relics from the ashram. So they have the, isn't that amazing? We don't know what's going on in the world. They have the relics. Tara Jauhar, who runs the Delhi ashram, kind of arranged all of this, and she went back with them, and they took the relics and they installed them.
But that relics was in the ashram in Uttar Pradesh, yeah? The ashram you were talking
I don't know if they have relics in Oro Valley. I think probably they do.
Oh, that the relics was in Colombia?
These relics went from the Pondicherry ashram to Colombia.
Ooh.
And Maria and a couple of other girls were here to take them. So we met at that time. And then last year, two other people came from Oro Mira. Camila and Beatriz, the two really, they're such nice people. Such nice people. So I think probably, and they all speak excellent English. So I think they probably did the translations, and I really like reading their translations.
So practically you are completely prepared and anxious to leave.
I'm pretty solidly prepared. I finished all the lectures that I'm going to be reading notes from.
But you are visiting only Colombia.
Yeah,
maybe
no vacation. This is not
no,
a,
I'm not,
not
talking
vacation.
About a vacation, but maybe since you're on the continent you're not going down to Brazil or Argentina. I mean it's far, I know it's far but still.
No, that just hasn't come yet. It's just, that's whatever's in the Divine's plan. But I'll tell you one thing that's really incredible. There's a huge opening all through South America to Mother and Sri Aurobindo.
I think one of the next Auroville International meeting is also going to be in Brazil.
Good. I think that's absolutely wonderful. Because it's clear. I mean, the people that I've met from there, and a lot of people come here through Aro Mira. And I've met several really nice people. And Brazil has a huge opening. Aryamani has spent the last 5 years spending almost half a year, 4 or 5 months, in Brazil lecturing. But she's been lecturing on Auroville.
And it's a different name.
Well, it is different from what she told me. I had tea with her the other day. And she was kind of telling me what she did. And it's really, she really appeals to what the people there already know. So they don't have to be people who know anything about Mother and Sri Aurobindo. She brings the films on Auroville and she gives talks. And I don't think she has to prepare her talks. I think she just speaks and answers questions on the sustainability and the agriculture and the growing city.
All the really popular topics right now and really appealing to all of us.
Yes.
This is true.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
If you want to, as Sri Aurobindo said, do things not just better but differently, we have to start with the core, yeah?
Yes.
So.
Yes, I came to the ashram 40 years ago, and the kind of lecture that I'm giving is the kind of lecture that I always wanted to hear. It just... right to the center, right to the core, right to the heart. And that was always in me, so that's natural for me to do. I don't have a feeling for doing that other kind of lecture.
That's good. Oh, by the way, what was your experience or feelings after coming from the States? Because I remember last year we were talking about you going to California.
Right.
So, but we didn't do the after interview.
That's
so I'm curious,
right.
How was, you anticipate something, but for sure It's different than the way you anticipated. So what happened last year?
Well, all of the talks were remarkably successful. I was asked to come to the OHM conference in Lodi, California, and I was asked to give two talks there. I was one of the keynote speakers. Dakshina runs the ashram, and their team put together a really fantastic, I mean, really incredible OHM conference on a very concentrated on a particular subject and beautifully organized with all different kinds of workshops and experiences and things. And she asked me what talks would I give. And I had given these five talks in Savitri Bhavan on the progress of mother's work in the transformation. And the first talk was on the supramental ship. And the last talk was on the new being that incarnates. As soon as I said supramental ship, so it's like a light went on for Dakshina, and that became the underlying basis and focus of the whole thing. It was most interesting. They had an art session where they wanted people to draw the supramental ship and things like that, and because the talk was on the birth of a new world. And when Mother invites people to the grand adventure. So I gave my two talks, and they asked me also to talk to children, and I gave a talk to the children. And it was very nice. The conference, they expected about 75 people, and they had 150 people. And it was a full audience, and they were very receptive. And after the talks, they clapped, which is not, you usually don't have that after a lecture, but they touched them and gave something to them. So that worked really well. And then I went to San Francisco. There's a man named Haridas Chaudhary, Dr. Chaudhary, who corresponded with Sri Aurobindo about, he did his, I think it was his PhD in Sri Aurobindo's philosophy. Mm-hmm. Came here in the 50s, and he went back and he opened the Cultural Integration Fellowship in San Francisco. And later on, he opened the Institute for Integral Studies, California Institute for Integral Studies, which is a fully accredited university in San Francisco. And so I spoke in both of those places, and I had more audience than I thought I would. Everyone was really receptive. Then I went down to the Los Angeles Center. First, I spoke in Ojai, California, in a place called Meditation Mount. I gave two talks there, which were very well received, and everyone was really open. And then I spoke at the Los Angeles Center, the East-West Cultural Center, and everyone liked the talks. And what I saw, Miriam, is that America is, everybody feels this, disintegrating. I mean, all the cultures all over the world seem to be breaking down. And, you know, there's the revolutions and the changes and the breakdowns and the breakdowns in the financial systems and the social structures and stuff like that. And Mother and Sri Aurobindo did say that this would happen.
It has to happen.
Well, it's not very pleasant to look at it.
It's not nice to be in it, but I think it's worth it, you know. It's a phase of transition when even the seed, when you put it in the earth, actually the seed has to fall apart to give a tree or a flower.
You're right. And it was so clear. I mean, what I could see was that the gap between those who resist and don't open and don't go on changing, the gap between those people and the people who are open and changing is getting wider and wider. And in the decay and dissolution of America, it's like new little shoots are coming up. And so out of the old decaying culture, there's something new and fresh and strong and alive that's being born.
And I see it in children after 2000.
You mean children that are born after 2000?
Yeah, they're extremely strong.
Yeah, yes, they're different. They're definitely, definitely different. And so I miss being able to talk to people. It's like they can't hear it. They simply can't hear it.
No, you can't.
It's weird. Mother said the higher the consciousness goes, the lower we also see. And that's what's happening. I have the same problem. If someone is not open on the right level,
then you're just quiet. You can't do nothing.
And you see them kind of going round and round in their own little terrible circles that I used to go around in. I mean, it's nothing that I haven't experienced. But when you look at it from the outside, you think, oh, my God, you know. And then you think about what you were, and you go, oh, my God.
Yeah, but each of us is raised up, or at least we were raised up, in the system of ideology, and each system does want to have children to think that way to serve the system. So we were brought up in that, and to think about that.
Running in very, very narrow circles, because it's a question of growth of consciousness. I mean, that's why the contact for Mother and Sri Aurobindo was so important, because they just carry consciousness. And that's, I think, the real value of the talks that I give, because I try really hard just to be an absolutely pure channel, so that it's just because that consciousness is now acting so much, the new consciousness, that anything that's ready in the person just automatically makes the next step. I mean, that's the reason people go for darshans of holy people, because their consciousness, there's something in their more open consciousness that goes in you as far as you can take in and opens you some more.
True. So, last year experience was beautiful. This year is
going to be even more
uplifting.
I have to tell you, it was both. It was most interesting because I met on the way people who knew nothing about Mother and Sri Aurobindo. People I was sitting next to in airplanes, things like that. And weird things would happen, like the flight would be delayed, or I'd have to take a different flight or something like that. I'd end up sitting next to a person and we'd start talking. They wouldn't know anything about Mother and Sri Aurobindo, but they were right there. They were willing to hear about Mother and Sri Aurobindo, but that was not the point. The point was that their consciousness...
They were open. Yeah.
They were open. The consciousness was larger, and you could see it and you could feel it. And then I was in places where there were just this really small consciousnesses. So... I experienced both, and I could really see how the gap was. But I think this is going to be very different, because I'm going to be in the company of people who are dedicated to Mother and Sri Aurobindo, and they're being so nice, and they send me these lovely emails about, you know, they ask me, would I rather sleep on a hard bed or a soft bed? Isn't that lovely?
Yeah.
I mean, that's care. That's like real hospitality.
I never expected that yet.
Well, nor I. No, it's really lovely.
Still, I think that would be special.
I think it's going to be really special. And I've asked them if it's possible to fully record the talks. And I think maybe they can, and then, because I know Andrea wants them for the radio.
That would be good, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if it's possible for them.
Especially the value would be bigger, because the higher, since they would be in Spanish, or partially in Spanish and in English.
Mm.
That would be really good, yeah.
Yeah, we'll see if we can do that. I can give their email, I think, because there are people who may like to email them for particulars about the workshop.
Okay, we will add it to the text, to the read more.
Okay, we'll add it to the text, yeah. The email, and also their website.
Mm-hmm. That would be good. Any other thought?
No. Yeah. I think we said everything that it's good for people to know.
How your heart feel?
Totally satisfied. Well... It is the psychic being that brings us to the yoga and that does the yoga and that calls the yoga. So I feel like when I'm doing this, it is the more I can just be so centered into that, the more the psychic consciousness is present and I'm living in the psychic. And when I do that, actually, nothing bothers me. Mother Antrira Bendu always said, and this is, you know, where I start my lectures on the psychic being, that when the psychic being comes forward and takes charge of your life, then everything becomes much easier. And it's true. It's like what that wonderful feeling that you have inside is just everywhere. Whatever other people may be doing or not doing, you're firmly established in that, all that beauty and all that simplicity and all that peace and all that depth and whatever all those things are, and everything's fine.
Thank you. Have a safe trip.
Thank you.
See you when you come back.
Yes.